collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking with the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And here we go, another edition of Collegiately Speaking, week number 5. Or is this week 6 if you count in week 0?
Hard to say.
Hard to count the weeks in college football. Dave Enning, Dan Persa here. All we know is it's game number 5 for the Wildcats coming up against a surprisingly good Indiana team coming into Evanston on Saturday afternoon. We're going to visit with Northwestern defensive lineman R.J. Pearson here in a moment, and certainly the defense has continued to play well, but a rough day overall for the Wildcats out in Seattle 2 Saturdays ago against the Washington Huskies, a 24-5 loss. And figure you get those points, well, let's see, a field goal after a turnover and 2 points on intentional grounding in the end zone. So tough for the offense, Dan. 112 yards of offense in that game.
Yeah, that's about as bad as it gets. Everything, as we were talking about before the show, everything just looked a little bit off from a timing perspective. The third down and short yardage, as you spoke about with the goal line stuff, was abysmal. And yeah, I mean, it's a well-timed bye week. Hopefully the offense can figure it out, because the defense continues to play well outside of a couple big plays. I thought they played great. So they're playing well enough to win. The offense just really needs to pick it up. So I think, you know, we're going to see this week what kind of season it's going to be, frankly, for the rest of the way. And is Jack Lausch and the offense going to pick it up and find the rhythm? And is Coach Lujan going to kind of find his niche and play calling? Or is it going to be more of the same like the first half a couple weeks ago and then all of the Washington games? So, you know, it's a tough opponent in Indiana. They're one of the hotter teams and hotter stories in the country. So should be a great challenge.
Is there kind of a learning curve with a new system where on both the part of the coordinator and the other offensive coaches and the players, where you're kind of, the coaches are kind of seeing what's the ceiling for the players? What can they do? And the players are, and we've kind of seen this with the Bears a little bit, kind of seeing what the coaches really see their identity being.
There definitely is, but you would hope a lot of that would get figured out in spring ball and fall camp, and by now, you know, in the second third of the season, that they really find their rhythm. So I think, again, the Indiana game is going to be a pivotal turning point for the offense, right? You've had enough games, you've had enough time in this system and with Jack to kind of get going. He'll continue to get better, and I think Coach Lujan will get more comfortable. But, you know, as bad as it was against Washington, you hope they take, you know, some bigger steps forward.
You and your teammates were very good in third down situations. This team has really struggled, 27% on third down. And I know some of that is, well, you got to be productive on first and second down and don't put yourself in third and long situations or put yourself behind the chains. That's happened quite a bit with this football team. But there are things that you remember coaches doing to make it easier for you on third down.
Yeah, I agree. I think earlier in my career was kind of moving the pocket and giving me that run pass option, especially in third and short. But as you mentioned, when you're in the third and six, third and eight plus, the percentages really fall off the cliff, right? And the goal is to always stay on schedule, get to third and 3-5 and you know, be over, you know, 50-60%. And you know, they just haven't been able to do that. I think the only cure for a lack of third down efficiency is big plays, but they haven't been able to really put that together either. So I think, you know, talking to Jack and Coach Lujan, you know, they're going to continue to find ways to you know, manage and stay ahead of the change and you know, make it easy for Jack and get him involved. I just thought he looked a little bit off from a timing perspective. I don't know if that's being too conservative, but most of the throws were behind the receivers. Even when he did make good throws, you know, they were drops, unfortunately. But I think, you know, he just needs to speed up his feet a little bit and speed up the decision making process and just trust himself. He doesn't look like he's just comfortable enough yet to trust himself and let it rip like he did in the second half of Eastern Illinois. So hopefully he can get there versus Indiana.
You know, we've talked on this show a few times about depth in certain position groups, and the ones that kind of stood out, running back and wide receiver. And yet the depth there is really being tested. Cam Porter being out last Saturday, I don't think you can really overstate the importance of that. I mean, not to take anything away from Joseph Hyman II or Caleb Komolafi, but look, Cam's been the guy. He's the bell cow, right, for this running game, and he wasn't there, and so Hyman moves up, gives you everything he's gotten, but now you fall behind, so you're kind of in pass mode, too, for much of the game. And then wide receiver, where you got some guys. Frank Covey was out last week. Reggie Florima was out last week. Ricky Amorazzi is already out. And so you really need the guys that you have there, A.J. Henning and Bryce Kurtz and Calvin Johnson, to make the catches for you. And there were some drops which seemed kind of uncharacteristic for this receiving corps.
Yeah, I think Cam's loss for the game was even more than just on the field, right? Going into hostile situations, you want, you know, a strong senior leader there for everybody to look to, right? Especially with a young quarterback and some other young running backs and wide receivers. So I think not having his presence there was probably tough for the team. And then, you know, once things start to snowball, everybody kind of looks around and no one's stepping up and making a play, and then drops happen and you kind of cascade down the hill. So I think, you know, especially in road games, you need those strong senior leaders to step up and say, I'm going to make the play, give me the ball. And not having Cam there certainly wasn't helpful.
Defensively, as you said, I mean, they continued to play well and give themselves a chance. They hadn't been burnt by a big play. Maybe you go back to overtime against Duke, but really the big pass play early from Rodgers to Boston. But again, that's early in the game, a long way to go in that. And then you give them a short field, a long punt return, and they go in and score on that. But otherwise, whatever they got, they kind of had to work for. And the defense continues to put pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and they've got 12 sacks through the first four games. You would certainly take that, holding your opponent to 79 yards a game on the ground. You'd certainly take that.
Yeah, I like I said, I think the defense is continuing to play winning football. You know, it was tough to see that big play given up, but that was just a great throw and a great catch, right? I mean, that's a 60-yard bomb from a upper echelon quarterback in the Big Ten. Like those are going to happen from time to time. You know, I think it's the quiet part that probably nobody's talking about in the locker room or elsewhere is it's hard when your offense only has 100 yards of offense to keep trotting out there, right? So I think you want to see some productivity from the offense, and that kind of rolls into the defense's confidence. So they need some help. They're playing well, but again, you hold the team to 25 points, you think you can win a game like that, especially with a big play and a long punt return.
Well, a long kickoff return by the Cats. Joseph Hyman, 96 yards. You have first and goal at the 2, and then you have first and goal at the 1 after a penalty, and you don't score there. You have fourth and 1. I mean, those are the kinds of things that are backbreakers for a team. And certainly in a game like that, we had a chance to get back in it.
Yeah, I think in those situations, right, you still have to earn every yard, right? You're playing Big Ten teams. I think it looked like, you know, Northwestern just thought Washington was just going to let them run it in and give up, right? But that's just not going to happen in the Big Ten when you're playing against great players. Is that they're going to make you earn every play and every yard, right? And I, you know, some of the play calling I thought was a little bit questionable, especially after the penalty to move them to the 1 yard line. But you got to find a way to punch it in, whether it's a QB sneak or some sort of run pass option or play action. It was, you know, you almost had the feeling that they thought they weren't going to get it, which was pretty apparent. So I think, again, you just, in those situations, you miss guys like Cam Porter who can just say, give me the ball, I'll find a way to get it in there, while everybody else was kind of looking around waiting for somebody else to make the play.
Here are some scores of other games. 31-7, 77-3, 42-13, 52-14, 42-28. Those are the five scores by which Indiana has defeated its opponents the first five games. They haven't been close in any of them, and they've done a great job pulling away. In fact, in the fourth quarter, here's the problem with them. They have scored at least 60 points in the first, second, and fourth quarters. In the fourth quarters of their games, they've outscored their opponents 63-10.
it's an impressive stat. I watched the Maryland-Indiana game, and I think, you know, they lost the turnover battle 4-0 and still won by, you know, 21 points or whatever it was. And it's yet to be seen how Maryland's going to turn out, but it's a Big Ten opponent, right? I mean, their quarterback is playing really well. The offense is playing really well. The coach has a lot of swagger. You know, you heard him talking about just look me up. All I do is win. So I think, you know, they're going to continue to press. Their schedule sets up pretty favorably, frankly, except, you know, they have a couple tests at the end of the year. But I mean, this is a team that once they start rolling is hoping for a spot in the top 12 college football playoff. I thought I saw a stat that it's like a 40% chance right now. So they're feeling confident. They're feeling good. You know, you're going to have to score more than 5 points to beat this team. The defense is going to have to step up. But I think, again, if you can hold an offense like this in the, you know, mid 20 point range, that's a game you have to win, right? So I think, you know, Coach Lujan and Jack Lausch and the rest of the offense really need to figure that out.
They've outscored their opponents on average 49-13. They've put up almost 500 yards of offense per game. They're averaging actually over that, 513. But their defense has been impressive too. They got 17 sacks in their first five games. They're only giving up 13 points a game. Their defensive line has played really well. And so you kind of look at where's the break coming this week? Because you look at Indiana, and they have a veteran quarterback who played very well in the MAC, and now he's come into the Big Ten, and he's lit it up here over his first five games.
Yeah, there's no break. This is a solid team, and like I said, you know, it's college football is one of those things where coaching and confidence and momentum make a huge difference, right? So Coach Cignetti and has really instilled confidence in these guys. A lot of new players, like many other teams with new coaches, and they're rolling. Like you said, the quarterback's playing great. So it's going to be a huge test, and things don't get much easier for Northwestern as things roll around. So like I said, I think this is going to be a pivotal moment in the season that Northwestern hopefully passes.
Coming off a bye, which you would hope would be some help, and the timing you would think was good because they had some guys who were kind of banged up. And then after this, they have a short week because they travel on Thursday, play on Friday at Maryland. Maryland coming off a bye week. So it's kind of the way the schedule, which we're all going to have to get used to it here in college football going forward. Each school, you'll have a couple of bye weeks. Wildcats have another bye coming up in November. But on the other hand, you're going to be playing teams that are well-rested and have had 2 weeks to get ready for you, which is always a challenge.
Yeah, especially this early in the season. I think, you know, Maryland's probably licking some of their wounds off the Indiana game and trying to figure it out themselves. So I think they'll be, you know, very, very prepared for next week as well.
Third down and 14, Maryland, from their own 46-yard line. Empty backfield, five receivers. Snap to the quarterback, Tagovailoa. He's hit and sacked on the play. Sacked by R.J. Pearson with the sack.
That was last year. This is a new year. We're very pleased to have R.J. Pearson, number 94 out of the Wildcats, with us on Collegiately Speaking. Dave Ennett, Dan Persa. R.J., thanks for taking some time with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing great.
Doing great.
One sack, 1.5 tackles for loss, 7 tackles, 5 of them solos so far over the first 4 games. Dan and I were just talking about how well this defense has played. And even in the loss out in Seattle, the defense certainly gave you guys a chance in that game. Give us your overall assessment of how this defense has performed.
Oh, man, defense, we performed good. We got to tighten up a little small details. We feel as if Maryland shouldn't have had as many points as they did, just small details. We beat ourselves, so we just got to tighten up the small details going forward as a whole.
What's been the difference for you? Last year was an adjustment. You're coming in from Bethune-Cookman, come in as a transfer, had to get acclimated to the new surroundings, new team, playing Big Ten football. And this year, a lot of people have commented on the fact that your game has been ratcheted up to another level. What's been the difference for you this year?
Oh, man. Last year coming in, I didn't get to play or even get to be around the team until it was fall camp because of paperwork issues. So it was just things I couldn't control. So I just had to come in and just play as I play right away and just learn as I go. So going through that whole year, there's a learning curve, just learning different things. But once I got the full off season, being under Coach Smith, taking coaching, learning, and just applying everything, and then get myself in shape, get my body right with Coach Spanos. I credit him a lot. He helped me get my body right this whole off season. And once I trimmed down and I was got the plays in and just everything just slowed down for me, I've just been playing football since then and just been a good transition.
The defense is holding opposing teams to, I believe it's 72 yards a game on the ground. You got a dozen sacks already through the first four games. I mentioned you've got one of those. What's the mentality of this defense right now? What's your mindset?
Our mindset is just to be dominant in everything we do. We just focus on getting the offense to back the ball as much as possible within the game and just being a dominant defense and don't give up nothing as much. We ain't bend, but we never break. So we always make in-flight adjustments or whatever it is, and we're going to play fast football.
RJ, Dan Purse here. Thanks again for joining us. Looking forward to Indiana. Obviously, they're one of the hotter teams, hotter stories in the country. What have you guys seen on tape from them? What do they do well, and what do you want to limit them on Saturday?
I mean, they do a lot of the basic oriented football things well coached up front. So we just got to play with a lot of great technique, do all the little things right, and just put our best foot forward going into this game. Which I believe we're going to do, and that's really the main factor. Like you said, they have a pretty good football team, well coached. So we just got to make sure we're on our P's and Q's, and you got to dominate defensively wise and put it all together offensively wise, and we'll be a hot rolling steam machine.
Yeah, talk about Coach Smith a little bit more, RJ. You know, defensive line has been one of the strong points of the team the last couple of years. It seems like he's done a great job developing, you know, 8 to 10 guys that have been playing a lot. So, you know, what are the things you enjoy playing for him? You know, some of the things that you enjoy that he does and how he pushes guys to be their best.
Man, Coach Smith is amazing. It's just the way he approaches everything. He's so cool, calm, and collected. One thing I admire about him is, you know, old school coaches, I've been a part, like, they'll yell for us, you know, they cuss a little bit. Coach Smith never does that. He always builds you up, never break you down. Even when you're messing up, he always coach you up right. But one thing he will not tolerate is effort. So that's the only thing that he might raise his voice about. But other than that, man, he just does a great job at coaching it. Applying the philosophy to us and helping us retain it and just apply it to the football field. It's just been a great transition. And him coming in from South Dakota State, he did a lot of great things there, and he's coming over and doing a lot of great things here. So just Coach Mills is just a wonderful guy, heck of a coach, and I appreciate everything he's done for me.
Visiting with number 94 of the Wildcats, R.J. Pearson. I want to play a little word association with you, R.J., real quick, about some of your teammates. Some of your defensive line mates. If I say the name Najee Story, what comes to mind?
Oh, ball player, man. Yeah, right alongside with me. Just do all the small things right. Me and him jailed a lot this past offseason, so ball player.
Jalen Pate.
Oh, Mr. Do Right. He's going to get out there every day and make sure everything is done right.
Carmine Bastone.
Workhorse.
Workhorse. That sums it up, doesn't it? I can ask you about a couple other guys. You got a lot of guys who are rotating in on that defensive line.
Keep it coming.
All right. How are Brendan Flakes?
Brendan Flakes, another workhorse, young guy. He's just putting it together. He's coming along well. So he's another workhorse.
Sounds like a recurring theme. Aiden Hubbard.
Oh, man. Mr. Reliable. Yeah. Mr. Reliable.
He is that. All right, I got to ask, we could go on with this, but I know your time is limited. Ours is too. But I want to ask you about playing at Bethune-Cookman, an HBCU institution in Daytona Beach, Florida. You played there before you came to Northwestern. What was that experience like for you, first of all? And secondly, did you play against... And I would think you did. Did you play against Coach Prime when he was at Jackson State?
The experience for me was amazing. I built a lot of great relationships there. Got some friendships I cherish to the end of time. It was a great learning experience for me. Learned and met a lot of great people that I keep in contact with forever. Mm-hmm. And I did play against Coach Prime while I was there, and I think I played him. I played him once. I had the flu going into that game, so okay. I didn't play as much, but I did play against Coach Prime.
Yeah, and anything stand out about that?
Yeah, man. It was just a well-coached football team. Had playmakers everywhere. As you can see, they yes. had a bunch of transfers in right. from like SEC, FBS, all around. So they had a bunch of playmakers. So it was good to get that experience and play against that type of talent. And then now I'm playing against the best of the best in the Big Ten. So
yeah, there you go. And you're going to see another good team on Saturday. RJ, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you taking some time out. Continue. Let's add some more word association. We'll do this again sometime. We'll go through the whole defensive line. I want to hear about all of your teammates. It sounds like you got a lot of workhorses on that team.
Yes, sir. And Coach Smith does a great job with this and making sure everybody is ready to play no matter what, next man up mentality. Everybody is a starter in his eyes because you got to be able to play any and everywhere at any time. So, awesome. And I appreciate you for having me on.
All right. Thanks for joining us. RJ Pearson of the Wildcats. And again, the Hoosiers coming in on Saturday. Thanks, RJ. And Dan, that's a lot of energy from that young man, and he's really playing well for this defense.
Yeah, he's been great and a lot of fun to watch. And as we talked about, the defensive line has been one of the strong points, and Coach Smith's doing a great job there. And it's always shocking how many guys play. It's hard to keep track of, especially with Carmine out, how many guys that are rotating through and making plays for them.
Well, we'll see how this defense fares against a very talented Indiana team, bolstered by, much like Colorado did, a lot of transfers from the coach's previous stop. And Kurt Cignetti's got a bunch of his former players, James Madison, who are having success now in Bloomington. All right, before we wrap things up, we got to get to a staple of Collegiately Speaking, Super Joe's predictions.
Prediction, to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
Well, I guess I know why you're all here. We need to address the rumors, and they are indeed true. Yes, Dave Bennett took us to Chuck E. Cheese after my first correct prediction of the season, and it was awesome. The games were a blast, and the pizza was top-notch, as usual. Things went south when we didn't have enough tickets for the big stuffed teddy bear, but we can't get into that right now. Before getting to this week's prediction, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I'm in awe over next week's card. Oregon hosting Ohio State, Penn State and LA to take on the Trojans, Lane Kiffin and the Rebels in Death Valley against LSU, and the Red River, Oklahoma plays Texas for the first time as SEC opponents. Just a friendly PSA for those that don't have plans next Saturday, October 12th. You should probably say that you do have plans so that you don't have to do something you don't want to on what could be the best day on the college football calendar. Back to the present. We've got a rematch of the national title game this Saturday in Seattle as the Huskies host the Wolverines at 6:30 on NBC and Peacock. These two teams combined to go 29-1 last year. They already have 3 losses through 10 games this season. Since the maize and blue confetti fell on January 8th, both Washington and Michigan have not only had to replace their respective first-round quarterbacks, but their head coaches as well. After 5 games in the Big House to start the season, Michigan finally heads out on the road. Their offense has been a work in progress, to say the least. They look a lot like the Wolverines did before their run to 3 straight Big Ten titles. Dating back to 2010, and throwing out 2020 because that season basically never happened, the Wolverines failed to score 21 or more points in 6 of their 10 first true road games of the season. I think they have trouble getting to that number again. Let's take the under on Michigan's team total of 21 this week. Back to you guys. By the way, Dave, you busy next Saturday?
Why? You thinking Chuck E. Cheese again? You know, the tickets don't go as far. See, you have young kids. You probably haven't had that experience yet of taking your kids to Chuck E. Cheese.
Not yet. One day.
You have to stretch the tickets to get to redeem them for as much as you can at the end. But Joe was good. He behaved himself.
There you go.
So anyway, Saturday, the Hoosiers. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Northwestern's defense is going to keep a minute. And look, Indiana hasn't really faced any adversity. They have a couple Big Ten wins on the road at UCLA, very impressive victory there, and then their win last week over Maryland. But they haven't really been in a real tight situation late in the game. And so what you want to do, I mean, it's always a goal, right, to make it a game in the fourth quarter, and that's what the Wildcats will be out to do this week.
Yeah, and again, hopefully the offense continues to evolve and step up and turns a corner and gets going, because I think the defense is playing well enough to win and to beat Indiana. So we'll see. It'll be a fun afternoon, perfect weather, and another great day on the lake.
Another day at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. First Big Ten game there at Saturday at 2:30 Central Time. Dan, I will see you there. And that's going to do it for Collegiately Speaking. Many thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. Thanks to RJ Pearson for joining us. Don't forget to join us Saturday, 2 o'clock Central Time on WGN, the Wildcats and the Indiana Hoosiers. Now, I'm Dave Edit for Dan Pearson. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next week.